Hello and welcome to Great British Sewing Bee Unpicked, Week 5, Students of the Week, with me, Rob.
And me, Sean.
As always, our disclaimer, we are not associated with the BBC, with Love Production, or with the Great British Sewing Bee. This is just a personal podcast where Sean and I discuss our thoughts on the show. So take of that what you will. So, Children's Week. What did you think about Children's Week?
Normally this is the one that really, really scares me, but since my friend had her little girl, I've been doing a bit more kind of children's baby stuff anyway, so I kind of feel like I was a little bit more prepared for this one this time around. But yeah, then they showed us the pattern and I went, yep, sod that. Yeah, pattern was cute, but I also got kind of traumatic flashbacks of my own childhood. So yeah, it was a bit triggering, this one.
Did you ever sail a suit, Sean?
Yes, my mum, when I was very, very little, had put me in a sailor suit.
I'm going to need to see photos of this.
I will see if I can find it somewhere. Mum probably knows exactly where that photo is. But yeah, the funny bit was, as I was sitting there going, this is quite triggering because I'm just having flashbacks of my childhood. But then at the same time, I was like, oh, that would be quite cute for Brighton Pride this year.
I was about to say, I bet you looked adorable in it then, and I bet you would still look adorable.
I think I could still rock a sailor suit at the age of 30.
Challenge one was the pattern challenge, and it was, as we said, the sailor suit with the squared sailor collar and elasticated shorts, and they were free to choose whatever fabrics they wanted.
Yep, but they had to have a contrasting fabric with a contrasting tape on the collar and the cuffs, which seemed a bit harsh to me, and they were really checking those corners on the tapes this time.
Yeah, now I don't know how you do that square with like ribbon on. I need to look that up, because I would have done what Christian and Brogan did, where they kind of bent it over or like turned it over to the other side, but it creates like a mitered edge rather than a corner.
Yeah. So my understanding is you fold it in half.
Mm-hmm.
So it's completely flat against each other. And then you take one of them and you sort of create a corner where the fold is, if that makes... I mean, that probably makes no sense whatsoever. And the stupid thing is I'm trying to then give an example with my hands and then remembering this is audio. There's no visual aspect to this whatsoever. So I'm giving all these hand gestures and sitting there going, Rob's on a computer quite a few miles away from me right now. And there's no cameras involved. So my hand gestures are making no sense whatsoever for anyone.
I'm going to need you to draw this down. And then okay, we're going to have to put it on the Instagram.
Yeah. What I might do is I might make a little video afterwards and just kind of give an example of how I think you're supposed to do this.
Well, you've got until Friday afternoon until this goes live. So we will expect a little video or something.
That is absolutely fine. I can get that done. I'll even throw my hand gestures in there so they don't feel like they were wasted.
Oh my. So if you had been on this challenge, Sean, what fabric would you have picked?
It would have definitely have had to have been nautical. Because I just kind of feel like it's a wasted opportunity not to use a nautical print. I probably would have used like a cotton drill, just because it's got some strength to it. It's a sturdy fabric. It's not too heavy, because some people did have a bit of a difficulty with their fabric choices and not being able to press them properly. At least with cotton drill, it's still fairly light enough that you can press it. I don't know. It's one of those difficult ones. Until you're given like an option of fabrics and told this is your lot, it's a bit hard to kind of say what I would do for this one.
Yeah, I was thinking that I would probably go quite boring and would probably stick to a fairly traditional navy and white theme, but I might mix it up by putting the necktie in like a bright red or something, with that kind of navy white, that very kind of like nautical look. I don't know, because I was not sure about using some of the busy patterns that people were using, so I was thinking maybe more kind of block colors and just making sure
all
I
think from what we saw, some of the ones that were just the block colors looked a lot more effective, rather than the very, very busy patterns, because it is a lot. It's a collar, it's the ties, it's the top, it's the shorts. There's a lot of aspects to this, and I think some people made theirs look a little bit too busy this time round, and it really took away from their actual sewing.
When they said this sailor theme, I started immediately thinking about Adam from last series and how much he would have loved this challenge.
Yeah.
He could have.
Oh, definitely. I think, you know what? I would love to see Adam take on this challenge and see what he would have created.
I think it would have been an absolute nautical fiesta, and it would have been incredible. I wonder if he was at home kicking himself, being like, why didn't they do that on my year?
I think he would have absolutely rocked this challenge.
We should start talking about the bottoms who didn't do so well. So in eighth place, we had Annie, who had produced, it was kind of like blue, it had like a boat print on it, there were red trims, and the main issue to me looked like the turn-ups, because the fabric she had picked, I don't know if it was like a polyester twill or something, because it was really bouncy and it didn't seem to want to take a crease.
Yeah, I think it was, but I mean, overall it looked really, really good, but it was, I think this was another one of those challenges where everyone did pretty well. Most people all fell at the same hurdle. So it was really having to pick at the small, minute little details. And for Annie, it was there was a problem with the waistband on the shorts, wasn't there? She'd made the elastic too big, so the shorts weren't staying up properly.
Yes.
And but actually, aesthetically, it looked really, really good. I just think it was unfortunate that it was just that waistband that put her where she ended up.
Yeah. I think probably, do you think it was deserved as last place?
I don't, this was a hard one. My heart says no. My head says yes. I think it was literally, people did either really, really well, or everyone, like I said, fell at the same hurdle. And I think it was, they were just having to really pick at the small, minute details. So I feel bad for her, but yeah, I do kind of feel like everyone else, at least their garments were able to stay up and the shorts weren't falling down.
Yeah, I think that and the, you know, the turn-ups, and it was just, she just had one more error than a lot of the other folk.
Mm-hmm.
So moving into seventh place, we had Jill, and it was like a greeny teal colour with a very contrasting bright yellow accents, and she had issues with the tape being parallel, I think, on the collar.
Yeah. I mean, I love this colour combo. There is just something about green and, well, that kind of tealy green and yellow together just makes me so happy. Mostly because most of my wardrobe now is kind of yellows, teals and leopard's print. But yeah, I really, really like this one. And again, from an aesthetic point of view, it looked really, really effective. And I think because she'd done the block colours, it stood out a lot more because it wasn't so busy as everyone else's.
Mm.
But yeah, again, the small little issue with the tape, it was, from what it looked like, quite a few people were struggling with it, and it was quite a fiddly, because it was quite a thin tape for them to use. And I suppose it's one of those, it's a really important bit, but they also don't really have enough time to pin the hell out of it.
Yeah, that tape was incredibly thin. And I was thinking, I would have A, grabbed the thickest tape that was there and then maybe built the colours of the around that. And when I looked, I was trying to see if they had done stitching on either side of the tape or just done one line of stitching down the centre of the tape. And I think most of them looked like they'd done two lines of stitching. I was like, God, that is a lot of work. And doing something so small. I mean, like, I don't think my eyes are good enough to do that. That's...
No, I would have really, really struggled with that bit.
So that was Jill's. In sixth place, we had Angela, and she had done, it was kind of like a lightish blue, and it had these kind of like little multicolored accents on it. And then she had, it was kind of like a yellow on the collar, and then she had yellow tape on the sleeves and kind of on the collar as well. And I thought it was cute. I thought it was nice.
Yeah, I thought it was cute. It looked good aesthetically. It was pleasing to the eye. But their main critique was the fact that the tape didn't contrast, because the tape was supposed to really stand out, and it did blend in, which was a sad, because it was really, really good. And I think had she just picked a different tape, she might have come up a lot higher than she did. But yeah, I'm really finding this one quite hard to critique, because I actually think everyone did really, really well. It was just those fiddly little details that most of us aren't really used to doing. It's not every day that I sit and go, oh, I'm just going to do a nice cornered bit of tape on this garment. And yeah, I just thought it was a bit of a hard one, and I can't really critique anyone for their little mishaps.
Yeah, and I don't think there was really that many mishaps with this challenge. I think there was just, they were really, it's getting to the point now where we're about, I think, are we almost halfway through or about halfway through the series, where it's now that they've really got to pick them up on the minor details, and, you know, if your stitching is going off the edge and kind of stuff like that. So, I mean, it must get really tricky having to judge as the series goes on and picking them. So moving into the top three, in third place, we've got Marnie, and she had used a blue Japanese fish print, which I thought was super cute. My only problem with this, which was what the judges said as well, was because she had done the tie in the same fabric, you just couldn't see the tie at all. It was completely camouflaged into the top.
Yeah, and I do agree with him. Like, when you saw it up close, obviously you could see the tie was there. You could see what it was supposed to be. But taking a step back from it, and like every good design, the way you see it up close and the way you see it from a distance should be the same. You should be able to recognize it. Obviously, you're going to see greater details when you're up close, but from a distance, you should be able to recognize what the outfit is. And again, Marnie, impeccable sewing. And I loved the print, because even though it was a busy print, it wasn't as busy as everyone else's, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. It was busy, but it was kind of, the tones of it were very kind of harmonious in itself.
Yeah, it all blended really, really nicely. And I thought she did really, really well there. But yeah, it was just, that was the main issue. Just, you couldn't really see the ties, and that is an absolute shame, because it was really, really good. She did really, really well.
Now, if maybe she had done the tie in either red or white, I think it would have been just beautiful. But in the print, it was kind of like blue fish, and every now and again there was kind of like a red fish in the between all the blue fish.
Yeah.
So she could have picked up on that red and just done the neck in tying that, and that would have really been tying back into the fabric, but also it would have been enough contrast so you could still see the tie. But yeah, that was just a bit of a shame. But I mean, she still came third, so that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's not bad going at all.
And so second place, we have Christian, and he had used a kind of pale blue and yellow. It had like, it had yellow accents on the collar. I thought the contrast was really nice. The print was kind of like a travel print, and it had little boats and planes and air balloons on that were really cute. And the only main issue that they picked up on was just the corners were kind of more mitered than it was not sharp square. But apart from that, I thought it was really cute.
It was really, really good. I thought you did really, really well. And yeah, it was just the tape that was the issue. So I was really, really happy that he ended up in second, because he's an amazing sewer, but he's always just been beaten by someone. So it's really nice to see him flourish a bit more and be recognised for his sewing.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to see. It's great to see him here, and he had a really good day this day. Also, I've seen from last week, he had remade one of the challenges. He remade his patchwork coat for himself to wear. So I'm wondering, is Christian going to remake a sailor suit maybe for himself to wear?
That would be something to see. I think a lot of us would like to see that.
So Christian, if you're listening, I think it's, you know, redo this challenge as well. We want to see an adult sailor collar.
His was really, really good, and he definitely deserved to land in second place. And like I said, I'm just glad he's finally being recognised for the sewing, his amazing sewing. Because it's a tough one. There are some really fantastic sewers in this group. I would have been out on episode one if I was in this season, because my sewing is nowhere near as good as the majority of the people on this show.
I think you're being far too humble there, Sean. I've seen some stuff that you've done, so I don't know about that.
Yeah, but I have like a whole week to complete an outfit, not a few hours.
Yeah, actually, that is a good point. They are under some serious time issues.
Mm-hmm.
So talking about fantastic sewers, moving into first place, we have Manny, who had produced quite a traditional choice, probably something I would have, similar to what I would have chosen, with, it was kind of blue and navy. It had an anchor print, so there was that kind of nod to the nautical theme. It had white on it. I thought it was traditional but cool, and the sewing on it looked like it was excellent.
I really, really like this, and I loved the fact that she was taking inspiration from that cosplay outfit that she made herself. Mm. So, yeah, I think she had a bit of an advantage here, because she's done the square sailor collars before. But, yeah, this made me happy. It's made me so happy. I love seeing Manny sew. I love seeing her journey. I can't wait to see more from her. Yeah, she definitely deserved top place for this.
Yeah, it was really great. It was just superb. So there was no argument there. I agree with the judges on that. I really want to try and do a sailor collar for me now.
Yeah, I do too. But I've actually started doing a patchwork jacket inspired by last week. So maybe I just need to write down sailor collar for a future project. Maybe once my college course is finished and I have a bit more spare time on my hands, I might try and make myself a little sailor's outfit.
Well, maybe we'll have to find a pattern and we'll both have to do it, and then we can turn up to like a pride somewhere as like the matching sailors.
Sounds like a plan to me.
So that was challenge one. Moving on to challenge two, we have the transformation challenge, where they had to take a school uniform and transform it into a fun outfit that a child would want to wear outside of school. Now, before we start talking about them, did you have a school uniform, Sean?
I did when I was at primary school. It was kind of like, it was supposed to be red, but it was more, it was quite a pale red. It was kind of an orangey red. White polo top, red sweatshirt, black, well, charcoal grey trousers.
Okay.
And you know what? I actually think I've still got it somewhere, because when we left, part of the tradition in my primary school was that everyone wrote on your school uniform.
Yeah, we did that in secondary school.
So, yeah, I think I've still got my old primary school uniform somewhere under my bed in like my little memory box.
I also have, I've got a shoebox of stuff, and in that is a white shirt that everybody wrote after our GCSEs, everybody wrote on each other's, have a great summer, see you next year, and all that kind of stuff.
Best Let's stay friends summer. Forever, keep in touch.
Unfortunately, being a poly cotton shirt and people writing in Sharpies, that it might have looked clear, you know, as they wrote it, but then the ink spread and essentially the shirt years later looks just kind of tie-dyed with a few biro scribbles on there.
Yeah, I mean, we used whatever felt tips we could find in the classroom to just write on each other. So I think the felt tips actually did a lot better, but then mine was a bit more cottony than poly. So yeah, I think that's why mine's remained a bit more pristine. But yes, but the funny bit is when obviously primary school spelling's not great, so there's just lots of people writing stuff, then scribbling it out, and then writing it again underneath. So I think most of mine is just covered in people correcting their own spelling.
Secondary school, we had a school uniform, and it was black trousers, a white shirt, and then a burgundy jumper and a tie, which was kind of like black and white and burgundy stripes. It was not cute, but big up to the Kingsbrook Massive. What?
Yeah, I have to say, Claverham's wasn't exactly the most creative secondary school uniform. We had navy blazer, navy trousers, a pale blue shirt, and then depending on what house you were in, depended on what tie you had. So my tie was navy blue with yellow and green stripes.
Oh.
So it was a very interesting colour palette. Needless to say, I did not keep that uniform for very long after I finished. I think Mum and I took it straight down to a charity shop afterwards.
So if you had have kept it, what item would you have wanted to wear as a child?
I really liked the fact that there was a set of dungarees, and I probably would have lent more towards the dungarees, or tried to do like a bomber jacket if there was a sweatshirt.
Okay.
My only issue is if I did a bomber jacket, I probably would have been done for that. Well, it still sort of looks like a school sweatshirt.
Okay. So
there is that risk, but my brain was also thinking, keep it simple, but make it creative. How about you?
Ooh, I'm not sure. I was thinking, if I was a kid, I would probably want to wear some kind of tracksuit. And maybe if I was a kid nowadays, rather than back in the 80s when I was a child, it would have been like nowadays, maybe some kind of like drop crotch kind of streetwear inspired, like joggers and a hoodie or something.
Fair enough.
I probably wouldn't have been able to do that in 90 minutes, but it would have been a hot mess. But that's what I would have probably tried to go for, I think.
Sounds good.
Right, so let's get on to what everybody did. So starting at the bottom, we've got Jill, who made like a sleeveless zip-up top in grey and burgundy with a pair of joggers. There was something kind of almost a bit cool about the joggers, though, because I liked how they were a little bit almost chevroned. Like there was like a diagonal line going across them, where it was, I think she used the sleeves from a sweatshirt and then something else for the kind of top of them. Anyway, the judges weren't massively keen Yeah, and put her in last place. What did you think?
I love Jill, but I did kind of have to agree with her placement. It was interesting, and I could see what she was trying to do, but I think she was having, like, quite a few people have in a transformation challenge, where you just go, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to start cutting away and hope that the process leads me to something. And though some people are very lucky and they can start cutting away and end up with something really amazing, I think unless you have a rough idea of what you're trying to achieve, that creative process doesn't always work out.
Yeah, I guess for some people, they can kind of work on the fly and just as they go. I don't think I'm one of those people. I think I'm the kind of person that would need to spend the first 5 to 10 minutes of the challenge sat and with a pencil and paper, try and sketch out what I'm going to do and then go and grab the fabric and say, right, how am I going to achieve this? How am I going to get there? So, I think you're right there. I think maybe she's kind of started on a journey but wasn't sure exactly where she was going, and then kind of the time ran out and she was like, right, well, this is what I've got.
Yeah, this is what I got. This is what I'm going to have to stick with. And it's a shame because, I mean, I love Jill. I think she is brilliant. I just don't think this was her challenge. And it just didn't work out the way she hoped it would.
No, and no one's going to be perfect on every challenge. You're always going to have those bad days where you're like, you know what, this did not go how I wanted it to. Somebody else who wasn't having the best time was Deborah, who had produced like a blue gingham play suit, and then she'd put a blue waistcoat over the top. But essentially, she looked like she'd made one school uniform and from another school uniform.
Yeah, I wasn't keen on this at all, and I could completely see where the judges were coming from, that it just looked like an upcycled school uniform. It was cute, but it wasn't the most creative out of the group.
No, I don't really. That was kind of all my notes. I didn't really have a lot to say about that one.
Yeah, it just wasn't inspiring, and it just, yeah, it literally looked like she just made a school uniform out of a school uniform and just didn't look too great.
No. So, moving on. This one I do have a bit of an issue with. So, in sixth place, we had Annie, who produced, it was like a lilac and yellow gingham crossover top and skirt with kind of like a peplum out of the collars and a headband. She'd used the gingham on the diagonal, which was quite interesting. I personally think this should have ranked a lot higher.
I'm with you on that. I thought this was really, really good, and I loved what she did with the collars. I love the fact that she made a little peplum out of them. I do feel like she should have been higher than she got. I thought this was really cute.
I did too. I thought this was way too low. I thought it was, the crossover top was really adorable, and I thought this was an outfit that a little girl would want to wear, whereas some of the people that ranked higher than her, I looked at and thought, I don't actually think a child would want to wear that. Maybe the parents would want the child to wear that, but I don't think the child would want to wear it.
Yeah, and that was part of the challenge. It had to be a garment that the child would have wanted to wear, and I thought this was adorable.
Yeah, and there was a lot of work she went into it, because she produced a top and a skirt. There was the little headband.
Yeah.
She put little trims on. She'd, you know, there was a lot of detail in here, and I don't think they'd really given her the recognition for all of the detail that had went into it. So I was a bit like shouting at the screen there, Esme and Patrick, you got that wrong.
I am completely with you on it. I felt like she should have been higher than she got.
Yeah. So moving on to the top three. Third place, we have Manny, and it was a blue and yellow dungaree. It had like a daisy strap detail, and then there was an A sewn on with daisy detailing A, which Esme thought stood for anarchy, which I just thought was the funniest thing ever. And I thought this dungaree were just adorable. Like, yeah. I think a kid would love wearing those. Like, a younger kid would love those.
I mean, nothing screams anarchy like gingham and daisies. It was just utterly adorable. Yeah, I thought this was so good. I loved the little details that she put in it. I kind of felt like, again, she was one that should have been higher than she was given.
Me too.
I thought this was absolutely adorable. I love the fact that she gave us the two colours. I love the embroidery on it. I just thought this was so cute. And yeah, I really felt like this should have been higher than it was given.
So second place, for the second time that day, we have Christian, who had produced a hoodie with, it was like a sleeveless hoodie with red, navy and blue. It had kind of blue patch pockets that were sewn on with a contrast red zigzag stitch. It looked a little bit like he'd lined the hood as well, which is kind of like an extra little stage of work. And I thought it was cute. I thought it was a nice little hoodie. Yeah.
It was a nice little hoodie. I do feel like Manny should have been a bit higher, because I just felt like Manny put in a bit more work, but he did a good job. It looked cute. I loved the colours. I loved the combination. He did think about the details. He even thought about what colour threads to do all the top stitching. So yeah, he did a really, really, really good job on this. I did prefer Manny's over it.
I kind of agree with you there. I thought that Manny's was a little bit more fun and playful for a kid. Yeah, so that was kind of a tricky one. And then first place, now this is the one that I really found confusing. It was a black and red gingham wide leg play suit. And the judges absolutely loved it. And I liked it. But to me personally, I thought it was a bit too grown up. And I thought it was the kind of thing that a parent might want their kid to wear, but then the kid might not love the actual outfit because it did seem a bit too sophisticated for a child.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. It was brilliant sewing. It looked really, really smart, but it kind of looked like the outfit that you got bought as a kid that your parents like, you have to, like, no rolling around on the floor, no spilling your food on it. It was the sort of outfit like whenever your parents were going out and you had to look smart. Yeah, it was cute, but yeah, and it was well sewn, but I couldn't see a kid's going, oh, I really want to wear that.
Yeah, wide leg play suit for a child, it just seems a little bit grown up to me. I don't know. I don't know what's fashionable for kids these days. I've only got a few friends with children and they're kind of in the 4, 5, 6 kind of region. But I've not seen any of them in kind of like a wide leg play suit.
Yep. I completely agree with you. Again, it was just, I was getting the vibes of the smart outfit your parents bought you, but you didn't necessarily want to wear.
Yeah, I had a velvet suit that I had to wear to weddings. And as a child, I hated the feeling of velvet on my skin. I couldn't touch velvet. So then being put into a velvet suit was like torture.
Admittedly, the suit that my parents got me as a kid, and it was just like a waist. Oh my god, I've completely forgotten the name of the garment. Waistcoat. Jeez, why was that so difficult? I had the first bit, but I just couldn't remember how that word ended. Matching bow tie, white shirt, black trousers, but it actually had the Tasmanian devil on it.
Oh, that sounds so cute.
I actually kind of liked that one, so it wasn't too bad. But And he was always one of my favourite cartoon characters as a kid anyway, because he was just pure chaos and no one could understand him. but yeah, it was good. It was well sewn, but I couldn't see kids lining up wanting to wear it. But apparently Esme really wants to wear it. And to be honest, she's about the right height for it as well. Yeah. So, I mean, I imagine she probably could have just taken off the mannequin and walked out wearing it.
Oh, bless her.
Please don't hate me for saying that, Esme. I'm a short ass as well. So I feel like we can both take the mick out of each other for our height.
I have a feeling that Esme doesn't listen to this. I think we're safe.
Yeah, no, I think we're safe. But saying that, can I just mention what happened a couple of days ago after you released the last episode? So I made the comment in retaliation to Marnie slightly bad-mouthing Leopard Print, and Marnie actually commented on our post apologizing for insulting Leopard Print. And you know what, at first I was kind of like, oh my god, Marnie's commented, and I didn't actually read what the message said. I was just sat there going, oh my god, Marnie's listened to us and she's commented. But I didn't know what she was commenting about. I was just so in my head of, oh my god, Marnie's listened to us. I don't know what she's listened to, but she's listened to us. And then all of a sudden I realised that she was apologising for slagging off Leopard Print. So, Marnie, you were completely forgiven. It's absolutely fine. And thank you for taking the time out, because it was hilarious and it was so lovely chatting to you over Instagram.
We love Marnie, and this episode in particular, we're not going to talk about the last bit yet, but this episode in particular really had some quite nice little like BT bits with Marnie, like the where she was dressed up as the witch with the green face paint, and she had a few little funny bits where she was like pulling a few funny faces, and she is such a funny, jokey character, and I just think she's amazing, and I was absolutely loving all the little Marnie, the little Marnieisms throughout the episode, and she was cracking me up.
You know what I think we should do though, is every time they do a challenge and someone pulls a particular face, we need to get that face and put it up on our Instagram. So last time we had Annie, and it was the coat challenge.
Yes, I think
so. I think it was the coat challenge and Annie's face of pure fear. And then it was the moment when they were just like, oh, kids week. And then just turn around to Marnie and she's just looking at the camera going, I don't know what to do. So I think that needs to be a new tradition of ours. Like the faces of scared sewing bee contestants.
Oh, okay. We need to do some more face grabbing then, and posting on the Instagram, because yeah. Marnie pulled some classic faces there. I loved it.
Really did.
So, talking about who was safe and who wasn't, going into the third challenge, it seemed to me like Christian and Manny were kind of in safe-ish positions. They'd both done quite well in the first two challenges, but everyone else seemed to be having a bit of a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm. I kind of felt like Jill was in the danger zone when going from seventh to eighth. Deborah was a little bit on the rocks after a transformation challenge, and same with Annie. I think those were the three that I was a little bit worried about, just because they did all right, but there were some issues, and yeah, those were the three that I was a little bit worried about, but mostly it was Annie and Jill, because they remained in the bottom three in both challenges.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they were kind of the ones that were teetering at the danger zone. As we moved into challenge three, the made to measure, which was to produce a Halloween costume with a 3D element, which I thought was a really cute challenge because you could interpret it in so many different ways.
Yeah, and so many people did. There were some really, really interesting costumes on this one. Some that were conceptually amazing, but I kind of also sat there and went, who thinks of that? And some that Yeah, they were cute, and I actually really enjoyed this one. Children's Week was never really my favourite because it wasn't something that I did, but now I'm really looking forward to like Ada growing up and enjoying Halloween, and I'm looking forward to making her Halloween costumes.
Oh yeah, that'll be fun.
But before we go into this, Halloween this year, if you were going out, what would you dress up as?
Oh, that's a good one, because I do love a fancy dress party, and I've not been to one in quite a few years, but I went through a period where I was going to quite a lot, and I dressed as He-Man, I dressed as Avatar. I've been in my local town, we have a zombie pub crawl, and everyone dresses up as zombies, and we go from pub to pub, and there are some amazing costumes. I've been a zombie clown before. Which was really, I don't really like clowns. I think they're quite creepy.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
But on the pub crawl, I bumped into a girl who actually had a phobia. There's a lot of people who actually have phobias of clowns.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
She freaked out when she saw me, and she wouldn't come near me. And I was saying, no, I'm friendly. It's fine. Don't be scared.
I'm a friendly zombie clown.
Yeah. I've been a zombie pirate. Yeah, so this year, goodness, if I was going out, what would I? This would be probably one of the first years actually where I've been able to sew and probably make my own costumes. Before, I've had to rely on my sister to make a lot of my costumes. Maybe some kind of vampire or something.
Cool.
What would you do?
Well, mine was a little bit conceptual, and it screams kind of 90s, early noughties kid. It was, when I explained it to people, some people went, oh my god, that's genius. Other people went, I don't get it. But I was basing this outfit on two of my favorite blondes from movies and TV shows. So you've seen Mean Girls?
Yes.
So my favorite character from Mean Girls is Karen.
Okay.
Karen, I love Karen to bits. But going along the ditzy blonde line, I also loved Harmony from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Okay.
So I was going to go as a vampire Karen.
Right.
Yeah, really, really conceptual, really out there. But it was just one of those, I thought, you know what, there are so many things. So I was going to do the Karen wearing a Halloween mouse costume where she goes, I'm a mouse, duh. But I found someone who does like the Buffy the Vampire Slayer prosthetics.
Mm-hmm.
So it's completely bizarre, but that is my plan for Halloween this year. And as I will be finally living in Brighton this summer, I will be in Brighton for Halloween. So yeah, I get to have like a proper, proper city Halloween this year.
Right, well, we will all need photos of this, Sean.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I probably won't be able to afford to do it. I will probably just be at home or maybe walking around in like a Poundland pumpkin costume because I'll be a skint student. But yeah, that was my plan. That is what I'm hoping to do.
You're going to be a poor student. I'll start a GoFundMe for your Halloween costume.
Thank you.
Right, so back to Halloween in the sewing bee. Starting alphabetically, we have Angela, who had produced a spider costume, which I thought was a really cute idea. Her costume ended up being kind of a little bit messy. Like the web seemed to be kind of a bit all over the place. And I agree with something that Patrick said, that it felt like it needed a little bit more.
Yeah, it was a cute idea, and it's kind of a classic idea as well, because obviously kids have got two legs and two arms, so you only need to worry about doing the extra four. And I love the fact that she was using the webs to join the arms up. But yeah, it just kind of felt like she spent a lot of time stuffing the legs and kind of missed out on all the little key details that she needed.
You know what I just thought of now that would be quite cute? If she could have got some glittery red, like cotton or something, and cut out an hourglass shape and sewn that on, and so her costume could have been a Black Widow spider.
Yeah.
Just something a little extra to add into it. I don't know.
Just a bit of extra detail. And I think that's what it was missing. It kind of felt like the parent doing that last minute costume for their kid's school play, that they've realized, oh my God, I was actually supposed to make something and I've got 3 hours until you're supposed to be on stage. Let's quickly whip something up together. It was a good job. She did well. It felt a little lackluster.
Yeah, it was. It looked well sewn and stuff. It just looked a little bit like there was something definitely missing there. Now, moving on to Annie's, who produced a dragon head cape and kind of like a unitard. I thought this was so good. I thought that head was superb. It was like sculptural. The eyes looked really real. It seemed to have kind of like a real nostril. I would have loved to have seen her put a curtain ring or something through that nostril, so it looked like the dragon had like a septum ring. I thought the fabric was really fun because it was scaly, but it was also a little bit glitzy. And I just thought this was absolutely amazing. And she really had kind of saved herself from that danger zone.
This was so, so, so good. I mean, when you saw the pattern piece for making the dragon's head, I thought, oh my God, you have not got enough time to do that. And it was so good. Like, even to the point where she created the nostrils for it, I just thought was absolutely brilliant. She really saved herself from the danger zone. And yeah, I loved it so much. It was such a cool outfit.
There were just so much little details as well. I'm amazed she managed to get through all of it, because even the spikes that were going down like over the head and down the back, like doing each of those, it takes time. And it's kind of a stretchy fabric as well, because I've got some of that in green that I was going to make a mermaid's tail in that I never got around to. But it's kind of a stretchy fabric, and it's not like the easiest thing to work with. So I bet she had to cut out about 50 pieces or something ridiculous, and then to sew them and stuff them and sew them on. I mean, Annie, you must have been working so fast.
She did so good. I love this. And you know what? That would have been the costume that kids would have wanted.
Oh my God. If your mum or dad had made you that and you went out trick-or-treating, all the other kids would have been like, I want that costume.
Yeah. Kids would have been giving you their sweets just to pay tribute to how awesome that costume was. It was so good. So good.
I wonder when she gets it back. I think they normally have to wait like 6 months or something before they get sent all of their sewing back. If she's going to give it to one of her friend's kids, and that kid is just going to have the best Halloween. Yeah,
definitely. Or even her little sister.
Because
it was inspired by it because she was watching a film with her little sister. Yeah, it was so, so cool. I was incredibly impressed.
Yeah, it was just amazing. Right, we're gonna have to move on before we.
Yeah, because we could probably spend the rest of the podcast just talking. Maybe we'll just do an Annie dragon costume appreciation episode.
So moving on to Brogan, who had produced a bat costume, which I thought was really cute. I thought the idea of using the umbrella was genius. I don't think I would have come up with that in a million years. The judges were less keen on it and felt that it was more like a pretty party dress with kind of wings stuck on, which I think maybe was a bit harsh. I do agree that maybe bigger ears would have added to the kind of bat if she'd have really accentuated it. Because, you know, you get some of those bats with the huge ears.
Yeah.
That might have, you know, really kind of upped the bat vibe. But I thought it was a cute outfit that loads of little girls or boys would want to wear.
I did agree with the judges, though. It was really cute, really well constructed. She showed her sewing skills again, how impeccable her sewing is. But it I just felt like it was missing something, and it did feel like a pretty dress with wings attached to it. Yeah, it felt like there was just something missing from it, and whether or not it was the bigger wings or something else, I don't know, but it just really, I loved it. It just needed something extra.
Talking about extra, we're moving on to Christian, who had produced a clown costume, and this costume was something extra. It had all the colours, it was really fun, it had great movement as the kid was walking, because that hoop kind of swayed a little bit. I thought it was a really fantastic costume, and I was a bit worried to begin with when he said he was doing a clown. I was like, oh, is that going to be kind of a bit naff? But actually, it was a really amazing costume, and I'm not a massive fan of clowns. I do find them very creepy, but I thought he'd done a really amazing job.
Yeah, it was cute. Just why did it have to be a clown? Clowns just give me the absolute heebies, which is weird because like my favorite villain as a kid was the Joker. But yeah, just it was very good. And I love the little banter that he had with Esme and Patrick about the hula hoop. And I thought it was genius to use the hula hoop to give it that 3D effect to it. Yeah, I can't fault him. It was very good. And I love the fact that it was based on a costume that his mum made him when he was younger. So yeah, I thought it was adorable.
If I was doing a clown, I don't know if this would have been appropriate, but I was thinking of the clown Pennywise from the movies. And I was thinking you could make a kid's version of that, and the little kid could walk down with the red balloon, and that would be really super creepy. And it would be a fun costume to make with the frills. It was like a Victorian kind of clown with the frilly neck and stuff. That would be a really, if maybe when my friend's kids get a bit older, maybe I can make that costume for them.
Okay, so if you combined Annie's face when she saw the pattern of the challenge last week,
mm-hmm.
and Marnie's face when it was all kids week, that is the face that I'm pulling right now. Can we just get off the subject of clowns, please?
Okay.
So I'm going to have nightmares tonight.
About Mini Pennywise.
Yeah.
But moving on to another creepy costume, we're on to Deborah's, who had produced Mrs. Havisham from Great Expectations. I think I got that right. Who was wearing a creepy wedding dress and had an absolutely insanely good headpiece that was a gnarled hand with, you know, a nail polish on it. And the girl that was wearing the costume, the little model, she was loving every second of it. I think she was feeling a spooky realness, and I thought it was just superb.
This was really, really good, and I was really, really impressed by it. But had you not known that it was Mrs. Havisham, I would have got skeleton arm.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was one of those, it could have been a bit of a risky one. Had she not have said, oh yeah, this is Mrs. Havisham and this is the concept, I would have just got skeleton arm. Which I'm not dissing, because if you'd made two of those costumes, that would have been really cool, because you could have had two people dressed as the arms, one person dressed as the head, and just had a group of people as one giant costume. But it was brilliant. It was really good. The headdress was fantastic. The details were impeccable. I can't fault this at all. I thought it was incredibly clever.
Yeah, I really loved it. I thought it was amazing. And even if you didn't, I think, get the Mrs. Havisham kind of nod there, I think it would still work as just a really creepy kind of ghoulish little girl kind of costume. I just haven't got the words to express how I thought that was. I thought it was amazing.
It was.
So, moving on to Jill, who had produced a garlic. I feel like one of her stepdaughters there. A Dalek costume, not a garlic costume. Although I do have a question here, and in my notes I've written Dalek, really grey. Why beige? ? Because I grew up watching Doctor Who, and although you get Daleks in all kinds of different colours, they're usually like a bluey grey, pewtery colour, and her costume was kind of beigey.
I will have to take your word for it because I didn't really watch Doctor Who growing up. As a teenager, we might have watched it every now and then when it was on TV, but yeah, I will have to take your word on the colour scheme that they normally are. But I did think this was really good. I got that it was a Dalek. It had the 3D feature. Yeah, her little model had no idea what she was supposed to be dressed up as. But yeah, I thought this was really, really good. It actually looked like something you could have bought in a shop.
Yeah, it looked just so well done. It looked amazing. Like, and there was so much work in that. But she had to sew on those black dots, and there was God knows how many of those. And I loved the kind of plungery detail and the whisk detail. It looked so good and so much fun. Mm-hmm. So Manny was next with a banana spider, and I really liked this costume. I liked the texture of it because it was a really kind of fluffy spider, and I liked how she put that little bit of yellow hint on the legs. I thought it was a really clever thing she did with the eyes, and the eyes I found really creepy because I'm not a massive fan of spiders. They do kind of weird me out a bit. But I thought those eyes looked amazing.
I loved this one so, so much. I thought it was really clever. I loved, and I think this is where the other spider costume failed a little bit, because if you're going to have two of the same costumes, you're always going to have to outmatch each other. And it was the little details that Manu put on hers with the yellow detail, the eyes. I just thought this was amazing. This was actually my favorite costume out of the whole lot. And I just thought the kid looked so fluffy and cuddly. I don't mind spiders. I'm not a huge fan of them. I don't dislike them. I've held tarantulas before. They don't freak me out, but yeah, this was my favorite out of the lot. I just thought this was so, so good.
The only thing that I wasn't so keen on, which I think, I don't know if she ran out of time or if this was something she was never going to do, I think she missed a trick where she hadn't connected the legs together.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just seemed a bit like a no-brainer, because then when the kid puts their arms up in the air, then the other legs are moving about and
yeah,
run around going oh, and like moving the arms kind of like puppetry. And so it kind of, I don't know whether she just went out of time or whether she was like, no, I'm not going to do that, it's too much, like, yeah, too obvious. But I thought that was the only thing for me. If she'd done that, that would have like ticked another box.
Yeah, no, I do agree with you on that, but I just love the little details that she put in on this. I thought it was so, so clever.
So in final place, we have Marnie, and Marnie had produced a dark fairy. Now, this was one that I was probably one of the most excited about when mm-hmm. she was describing it at the beginning. I thought it was going to be really cool and quite, you know, like gothic and creepy. Unfortunately, Marnie wasn't having the best day. The tubing didn't really work the way she was hoping it was going to, and the outfit in the end looked a little bit sad. The wings were a little bit droopy, and it just was a little deflated for me.
Yeah, the concept of it I was really looking forward to. I was kind of, when she said like the way that she was going to design the skirt, it was going to be to make it look like she was kind of floating. I was really, really excited for this. And Yeah, I think it was one of those she gave herself quite a lot to do. And obviously the tubing that she'd bought to kind of give shape to the skirt just wasn't strong enough. And when she's mentioned that she was using this tubing, I kind of sat there and thought, probably not the best thing to use because it's very, very flexible, and maybe should have gone down the same line as Christian did by using a hula hoop, which is a bit more rigid, or even using like one of the pool noodles, which is what I think Jill used to create the shape. So yeah, it's, yeah, I, this was a bit of a heartbreaker one for me because I was really looking forward to it, and it was just, yeah, it was just a bit bland.
Yeah, I was really heartbroken by this. I was so excited about it, and then yeah, I don't know, it just wasn't what I was hoping. But you know, some days you just have those bad days where nothing goes right and you have a brilliant idea and then it just doesn't quite work out the way you thought it was going to. So garment of the week was Deborah's, Mrs. Havisham. I have a feeling you're going to say that wasn't your top pick.
It was.
Oh, it was?
Yes, it was. Because of the details that went into it, I felt like she really, really deserved this. I think had it not have been her, I would have quite liked to have maybe have seen Manny's sailor outfit as garment of the week. Okay. But no, I do think Deborah really deserved this because it was highly conceptual. The details were amazing. Yeah, she really deserved this. And you know what? She's doing well at getting these garments of the week.
She really is. And I think this is her third. And there's only been 5 weeks. So to get 3 out of 5 is really a massive achievement. Like she must be so proud of herself for doing
it. She really must be. Because if that's not top 3 material there, I don't know what is.
Reminded me a little bit of... Fari got a lot of garments of the week as well. Mm-hmm. She seemed to really shine in that last challenge where you're kind of fitting to a model and you maybe have a bit longer to prepare and think about what you're going to do, and you can put a lot of your own creativity into that. And Deborah's really just knocking these ones out of the park.
Yeah, she really is. But yeah, it was well deserved. Really well deserved.
So well done, Deborah. And unfortunately, the sad news of the week was we had to say goodbye to Marnie. And I was shocked, I was gooped, I was gagged, I was dismayed, and I was distraught.
I won't lie, it really made me quite upset seeing Marnie go. Yeah, seeing as we've both had her as a top 3 contender since day one, it was quite hard to see Marnie go.
I know.
I get why, because that final challenge, I think that's where it really let her down. But yeah, I was very heartbroken to see Marnie go. I was really looking forward to see what she produced next, how, like, seeing her get to the top 3. So yeah, I'm really sad to see Marnie go.
Yeah, I was just really, I was, especially when everyone was hugging and stuff, I was feeling a bit upset, and I was like, I'm gonna need to grab myself a tissue because this is some sad stuff going on here. You know, I had £100 on her at the bookies to win. I didn't before people write in, we're not promoting gambling. I didn't.
No.
But I really did think she was going to be in the top 3 and was just so shocked. I was hoping that the judges might have said no one goes home this week because it was such a mixed bag of stuff. And I didn't know if, like anyone had been consistently at the bottom. It wasn't like previous weeks where you had people who had done, you know, really badly across all the challenges. So I was physically like shocked. I think I was sat there and I did a like gasp.
Yeah,
they announced it. So when Marnie did the little speech where she was like, oh, I agree with the judges, I just, you know, I really wanted to kind of see it through, I was like, oh, stop it, I'm crying here, I can't.
It just goes to show you that the made to measure is the thing that can really sway the vote. I mean, looking at Steve, he didn't do too well in pattern challenges and he didn't do too greatly in the transformation challenges, but he saved himself through the made to measure. And though Marnie, I mean, what we went from third to fifth this week, so it wasn't even like she was in the bottom three, but that made to measure, I am assuming, is what is put her in that position to go. So it just goes to show how important made to measure challenge really is.
Yeah, I mean, they must really weight their decision so heavily on the made to measure, because you're right, she wasn't in that bad positions in the first two challenges, so it must be a really weighted decision there on what you do in that made to measure as to who's going. And yeah, I was so sad. And I think as a group, I bet the next week they really miss Marnie, because I think she's such a fun, bubbly, funny character that I bet the sewing room didn't quite feel the same without her.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. And yeah, I still quite haven't gotten over it yet. I've watched it about six times now. And yeah, I still hasn't quite sunk in that Marnie's not going to be there next week. But Marnie, I just want you to know, as I know that you listen, I am a massive, massive fan of yours. And I can't wait to see what you produce next. I love seeing how everyone does once they leave the competition. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what you produce, what you show the world, because you are such a talented, talented person. And yeah, I'm really, really heartbroken that you're gone so early in the competition.
Yeah, I don't want to finish on such a sad note. So Sean, what's your next sewing project?
So my next project is a couple of bomber jackets that I'm making for myself. One is inspired by last week's patchwork jacket challenge.
Cute.
I'm doing a bomber jacket with patchwork sleeves, and I'm making a matching one for Ada. So that's going to be very, very cute. I'm probably going to confuse a lot of people, because I've taken my friend and Ada out for lunch, and people automatically assumed I was the father. And I was like, I'm really not, trust me. I think the funniest one was when we went out for lunch and my friend said, oh, I'm going to have a drink. And I went, oh, typical, I'm the one driving, I'm the one paying for it, and you get the drink. And the waitress actually moaned at me, and she went, well, she did carry your child for 9 months. I was like, not my child. Not my child. So I just jokingly turned around and said, actually, she's not mine, she slept with another man.
Scandalous.
So it's just one of those, I was like, I'm not being blamed for this. I'm the gay uncle here. I'm not the father. I'm not the reason that this child came into this world. But yeah, I am thoroughly enjoying making bits for Ada at the moment, because it's so much fun making stuff that I make for me and then making it in miniature for her. And another one that I'm making is just going to be a bog standard raglan sleeve bomber jacket with... it's going to be denim based, but then it's going to be a blue body with like a tealy denim sleeve. And I found this amazing company that produce embroidery patches. So I've been speaking to them, and they're going to make me a massive Medusa head embroidery patch, which is going to go on the back.
Ooh, fun. That's really cute.
How about you?
Oh, I am currently making a little kind of dress for my sister because I'd like some more experience in women's wear. So I'm making her a little dress. It's just kind of a little cotton, very simple dress with an invisible zip down the back. It's going to be super cute, though. I think it's got like contrast patch pockets. And then I've cut the pattern pieces for a co-ord set for my husband, and it's in like a Givenchy inspired Rottweiler print.
Very nice.
So that should be a little fancy something for him to wear on holiday when we're going to Sidges later in the year.
Nice.
And I need to make something for myself. I feel like I need to maybe make a long line shirt or something. I've been a bit naughty and buying a lot of patterns in the last week, so I need to start making some of them. But you know, you got to treat yourself sometimes.
Yep. Oh, definitely have to, which is why I'm making loads of stuff for myself now, and I'm loving it.
Well, you got to make your whole new wardrobe for when you're a student, because you won't be buying those.
Yes, I definitely need to start making myself a wardrobe for university. I am not turning up with something someone else has got.
You'll be unique.
Definitely. So next week is music week. So the pattern challenge is a parka jacket. Seems very harsh to me. Don't know how you feel about it.
That does seem, I think, a little difficult for what's normally, they normally get, 3-4 hours, something like that?
Mm-hmm. And I get the feeling we're going to have quite a few Oasis tracks being played whilst they go.
Yeah.
The transformation is a country look, which I am really looking forward to seeing.
Definitely.
And I hope we're getting a lot of Dolly Parton being played in the background whilst they're sewing.
Yep.
And then a made-to-measure, a Bowie-inspired look, which I am really, really looking forward to seeing.
That is going to be amazing. I cannot wait till next week.
Neither can I. I've already got an idea of what I would do for my Bowie look, but we'll talk about that next week.
Super, right. Well, it's a goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from me.
Bye.
Bye.